Hare Krishna. excuse me, this is Zenadar Swami.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
People can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you well in New York City.
Okay, thank you.
Katya.
Well, it's great to be back with all of you on the Sangha. There's still a lot happening here. Hopefully the phone should be a little bit better here in Vrindavan than it was in Govardhan. I'm just again getting set up because E.V. Govindaswamy came back and he's doing kirtan. So I went to the kirtan today. And now they're having some lectures and talks. But, you know, I left to come here for the class. So, reading from the Vyad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Text 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satitta Bhakya Bahuda Karuda Sputan Yanam Yach Shravan Nena Vaksa Vavatsvapi Sneha Param Param Sa Praraksha Krishna Priyatam Matepsya. She often lamented with poignant words that could shatter the heart of anyone who heard them. And she bore the burden of love for all of you, staying tied to you only because you were very dear to Lord Krishna. Commentary. Mother Pita, as Kunti, fully trusted Krishna's protection because she was a surrendered devotee. Her complaints and expressions of anxiety did not arise from a material contaminated consciousness, but rather were her own special symptoms of ecstasy. She did not hesitate to open her heart directly to Krishna, as she did during the union at Kurukshetra. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. Vivatman Vishwabhavana Papanam Tahi Govinda Shushubis Shabasidhasim Nanyatta Vapadam Boja Vasyami Sharanam Ninam Vidyatam Nithi Samsara Vishwarasya Pavagika. This must be Kunti. Krishna, Krishna, O great yogi, O supreme soul and protector of the universe, O Govinda, please protect me who have surrendered to you. I and my sons are being overwhelmed by trouble. The persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet. You are the Supreme Lord. Bhagavatam 10:49, 11-12. Naturally, for a pure devotee of Krishna, Pita wanted to give all her love to him, forgetting material attachments to family and everything else. But because her sons were also exclusive devotees of Krishna, she maintained her affection for them. Om Gana Atmarangasya Jnananjana Salakaya Rakshurunmrutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Kayevan. I'm hearing you, said Kirtamaswara. Vansha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayedacha Satitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. This year Kartik ended earlier. The weather is still absolutely superb. And even next door, I mean, there must be 250 devotees sitting in the courtyard. So I guess the kirtan is starting now. Listening to the kirtan. And I guess somehow it comes somewhat of an instrument for people to come here, an instrument to help them to appreciate the Dham. It's been really nice. One lady came from America, just she competing against the kirtan. She heard she was on a tour to India, 28-year-old lady, and from Washington, D.C. She heard that there was a, that she's on a tour, and Hari Kirtan, he's sometimes on the Sangha, that if you've gone to India and you like Kirtan, you should come to Vrindavan. So she contacted me. And it was so nice to see how someone could appreciate Vrindavan. And, when you enter in the right way, how much you can get here. This is one of the challenging classes. There's a rip-roaring kirtan outside. It's really hard to concentrate, but naturally I'll try. I mean, I can hear that kirtan so clearly. Yenda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Oh, Vasadi. They have a powerful speaker system, so I'm going to have to do the ultimate non-multitask and not listen to the kirtan and try to say something here in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Maybe if I talk loud, it will help me to access my inner thoughts without being distracted. As we know, we're in the section now where Narada Muni, that great Vaishnava, is looking for the topmost devotees. And when he's pointed to the Pandavas, he's glorifying them as his superior because Lord Krishna is superior. And Lord Krishna is their Ishtadev, appears to him. And Krishna only responds to intimate, spontaneous love. So, in response to the most forceful devote love, Krishna appears. Krishna appears to the love of his devotee. And Krishna is the Lord that appears to the most intimate love. So the devotees of Krishna are best. Of course, all devotees are best, and there's so many pure devotees, and they all are pure servants. But the intensity of the love is strongest. And sometimes that's called kevala bhakti. And kevala means only bhakti. It's not that other forms of bhakti are not pure love. But I mentioned many, many times, when love is spontaneous, there's no other consideration mixed with the love. The love is more forceful. Considerations such as the obligation to worship the superior, the obligation to worship God. So, Narada, in presenting this, he then begins to trace the cause of the Pandavas' superior devotional position, which means the superiority of Krishna, and he begins to discuss the special influence of their worship of the Lord Krishna. And he describes that influence, that only when that even demons that are killed by Krishna get liberation, and only Krishna gives prema bhakti, love at this highest, most absorbing degree. And the reason why even demons are, that are killed and by liberated, and not the demons killed by Narayana are liberated, is because the full beauty of God is manifest. And therefore, any connection with Krishna is the most captivating and absorbing to the mind. Krishna means all attractive. So Narada prays, O Krishna's brothers, O Krishna, O brothers, how can the infinite wonder of his bodily beauty, his effulgence and charm be properly described? How can they be described? Because they're the full manifestation of beauty, effulgence, charm, personality. Again, a person, he's not always manifesting his charm. He's not always effulgent, fully effulgent. But Krishna is when that charm of the Supreme Lord is fully manifest. And he says their features so attractive they've never been seen by anyone else. They're unprecedented attractive features of Krishna. Leave one struck with amazement. So do also his pastimes, his quality, his pure love, his glorious features, and the place where he sports. So Krishna is so sweet that even the punishments he gives, because that's also an intimate association with Krishna, and even the demons become liberated. And then at a particular time in this ecstasy, and it is ecstasy, to describe Krishna, to describe his charm, it's something that touches the heart. And when you begin to describe Krishna, Krishna reciprocates in love by revealing himself to what? Tesham satatayuktanam vajitam prithipurvakam didami buddhiyogam tvam yena mamukha. The one who worships me in love and devotion, I give him the knowledge by which they can come. So Krishna manifests to one who is glorifying him, who so as one begins to glorify Krishna, Srindata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyanta Stoya Bhagani Vidyanoti, Krishna within the heart begins to reveal more and more of his beauty, just like when you chant the holy name. The more and more you glorify Krishna, the more and more the glories of Krishna in the form of the holy name are revealed. So, Narada is glorifying Krishna as that Lord of ultimate charm and ultimate beauty, and he's not only describing it, he is tasting it, because Krishna is not different than his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So when you glorify Krishna as sufficiently, gradually you become purified, and you can actually experience Krishna. And the Upadeshamrita gives such a beautiful example, which is a humbling example for us, is it's just like sugar cane is very sweet, but when one is diseased, he cannot appreciate or relish that sweetness. Rather, he's tasting something bitter. It's not that what he's tasting is bitter, it's that his ability to relish it is compromised by his disease. Spiritual phenomena is forceful, but our receptivity is determined by our faith. If we have full faith, then we are able to relish what is there. It's just like a fire has a certain potency to burn. But if a rag is drenched in water, its ability to be influenced by that fire is being compromised. But at the same time, the fire is creating that qualification for itself to be felt as it dries up the water and dries the rag to the and eventually the rag is able to experience the full potency of fire. So it's the same. We begin to glorify Krishna and chant Krishna's name, and we may not feel the full effect because of the nature of ignorance, but that is the process to cure us of ignorance. So Narada is glorifying Krishna. Krishna is revealing more and more of his charm and his beauty in the form of that glorification. And Narada is becoming more and more humble. Because as Krishna's glories are being revealed, one feels less and less qualified to fully describe them. So Narada stops his own tongue. He thinks the tongue is being impudent. Because how dare you try to glorify, you'll fall so far short of the mark. He says, just say something about the devotee who appears as a human. But he's feeling even that he can't glorify. But because of his spontaneous nature, he cannot stop glorifying the devotee and glorifying the devotee. He's also glorifying the family of the devotee, because everyone associated with the pandit has obtained the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, when one becomes a pure devotee, even his family is respected, because they are also being purified by that association, as even verses that 18 generations are liberated. So he can't stop glorifying the family of the Pandavas. And spontaneously he begins with the mother, who as soon as she heard from the mouth of Akura a single statement by Krishna, she plunged into the swiftly flowing currents of prema. When you're qualified, you get full effect immediately. Narada Muni, when he took prasadam, because of his association of the Bhaktivedantas and his full faith, immediately he became purified of all sins. And therefore, one who has faith and can experience the glories of spiritual phenomena has extreme respect for spiritual phenomena. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if his disciple was holding Jagannath Prasad, he would circumambulate the disciple and then pay obeisances to that Jagannath Prasad. Because he knew the full potency of Mahaprasada. And same thing with the Bhagavatam. There's those verses in the second verse of the Bhagavatam. The second verse of the Bhagavatam states that just by hearing it once, Krishna becomes arrested in the heart. Once. Simply hearing it once, Krishna is arrested in the heart. What does arrested mean? When you develop attraction to someone, you are bound by their desires. You no longer move according to your own desires. You move according to their desires. So you're surrendered. You're captured. You're captured in love. It's the most ecstatic kirtan going that far, just right in the corner of it. But you're captured by love. Once hearing. Once chanting the holy name, once taking Krishna prasad. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Hoy, Lava Matri, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva. Once by associating with devotee, a moment, not even a moment, a half a moment, a Lava Matra, you're purified. So the question comes, and the great scholars discuss that. If I once, one can become liberated, then Krishna can come in the heart by hearing the Bhagavatam, then why doesn't it happen to us? The Acharyas give the example. There's a nice story of, I think it was Lala Babu, this aristocratic Bengali gentleman. He was very, very pious and very, very surrendered to Guru, and was a loving person. He always thought of others' desires before his own, which is really one of the main principles of chanting the holy name, to think of others before yourself, because the chanting holy name has most effect if it's chanted from the perspective of humility and service. So somehow he was very, very pious, a very, very humble and surrendered soul. And he walked outside one day, and a sweeper was cleaning the street, and he was in the way. And the sweeper said, move on. Time is passing. So he heard that one statement as the essence of spiritual life, that we're dying. This world is moving. We have to become serious about spiritual life. We have to become serious because time is moving. Become serious. So you heard that the message of Bhagavatam, gave up everything and moved to Vrindavan, used all of his wealth to build one of the most glorious temples in Vrindavan, the Lal Babu Mandir, and lived in a hut. So the question is, why doesn't that happen to us when we chant the holy name, we hear Krishna prasad? And the Acharyas give the answer that because the message of the Bhagavatam is surrender to Krishna, surrender to Guru, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And because we're not surrendered to Krishna, because we don't have that faith in Krishna, then the effect of the holy name, the effect of the Bhagavatam, the effect of the Mahaprasad doesn't happen forcefully immediately. It doesn't give prema immediately. So the question is, then why do we hear the Shastra? We hear the Shastra because that is the process that will inspire us to fully surrender to Krishna. So we have to hear the Bhagavatam again and again, not once. And there's two ways to hear the scriptures. One is to just relish it, the transcendental message, and one is to get some kind of knowledge that will help us to relish it. So this is Kunti's position. She heard from Akura a single statement. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari. Hari Ram. That's what I'm hearing outside. So, Sadhya, Maja, Nima. Immediately she became submerged in prema pravahe, the flowing current of transcendental love. Sometimes we say, why me? Why me? Why I don't have Krishna? Having Krishna is having love for Krishna. And to have love for Krishna, we have to surrender to Krishna. And then the flow of prema comes immediately. The Bhagavatam also says, sadhya, immediately. So, ekam, vakyam, just one statement. And she was plunged in this love. So this is the mother of the Pandavas. I remember when this very, very nice lady, very, very nice lady, when she came to Vrindavan, I waited for her in the guest house, you know, and they're putting in a sewage system in the roads, and all the roads are messed up, and sometimes the rickshaws don't come in. So she's a single lady, and I gave her directions. But they dropped her off at the other side of Vrindavan, and so I made sure of my cell phone to keep in contact with her, and then I lost her. So I waited at the guest house to make sure, because there was hardly any rooms. I got a room for her. Then she's situated, and we saved prasadam for her, and she came over to my house. And then I introduced an Indrajunda Swami, and then I went up to her room. His room, there's about 150 people there. And he leads this incredible kirtan, and she starts crying. And she told me later that she came to India as a tourist, but she didn't realize that she was on a spiritual journey. And it's really nice. It's wonderful. So I'm hearing the kirtan. It's influencing me so much. And you see in the atmosphere of Vrindavan how these wonderful devotees from all over the world just give their life to the kirtan. They chant, they dance, so you walk into that and you really get to appreciate what Prabhupada gave in terms of the holy name. It's just a wonderful thing. And when chanted in full surrender to Krishna, it enters the heart like a flow of praying. And she often lamented with poignant words that could shatter the heart of anyone who heard them. And she bore the burden of love for all of you, staying tied to you only because she was very dear to Krishna. So she, her children were devotees. Hari, Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram. Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Okay. Are there any questions? Because you can stop now. It's going to be hard for me to go further than that. This is kirtan. Radhe Radhe, Shambhalade, Radhe Radhe, Shambhalade. Any questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah, Mooney, great, thank you.
Thanks for your class. Was really inspiring. I know it seems like it was kind of spontaneous, but it was really inspiring. Thank you. Excuse me. My question is about what the verse, the final thing you read about Kunti, which I don't know if you had time to touch on it, but I don't know if we're going to do it again next week, so I thought I'd ask a question about it.
Okay.
It said that Kunti Devi wanted to give up the world, but because her kids or her family were such great Vaishnavas, her attached love for them remained.
Well, and it says she bore the burden of love for you, yeah.
Okay. So I guess the question... Sorry? My question is, you know, I think you and I have spoken about this privately a few times, and there's kind of... Sometimes artist cartoons of bhakti are kind of couched in the language of gyan, in that we'll say things like, you know, the world is a place of suffering. I mean, but on the ultimate bhakti level, we see the world as Krishna's energy, and it's a glorious thing, I think. And
right,
I think,
right.
And so we also say things like, you know, you can't, you know, you have to give up attachment for everything and just cut off relationships. Clearly, that's not how bhakti works. Bhakti generally doesn't happen in caves. I mean, occasionally it does, but it seems to happen in an atmosphere of love, like Lal Babu's kind of affection for everybody. It wasn't selfish, but it was still an attitude of love and relationship.
Right.
And so I guess my question is, Maharaj, you know, for those of us who do have people in the world who we care about, do you think that, you know, we can actually, this understanding that if people are in relation to Krishna, then we take shelter of them too. You know, it's not like I have to give up my love for my guru or something like that because it's an obstacle. So do you think that in a way this inspires us to try to take those people in our lives and try to help them get closer to Krishna so that the relationship can maintain, but maintain in a pure way? That was kind of, I don't know, that's what I was thinking about
well,
when I
that's,
heard
that. That's a very nice thought, but... Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama. Surrender, and I think Bhagavad Gita mentions, you know, shows that what surrender means is to do what Krishna wants. And when you have attachments, Krishna wants you to purify yourself of the attachments. And to purify yourself of attachments, obviously, most of the time, you're not required to give them up because that's not the best way to purify them. And because we're not jnanis, that's not what the way we think in terms of detachment. We think in terms of dedication, you know. We don't become all bewildered because we have some affection for someone. It's not, you know, we're not on that platform of analysis there. But obviously... Within the philosophy, we have to couch everything in a particular perspective and then act accordingly. You know, so there is a time for Jnan, there is a time for that analysis, and there is a platform where people see that, you know, on a certain level, and Kunti was certainly on that level. Raghunath Das Goswami.
Yeah.
He gave up his family immediately. People take sannyas. You know, so it's appropriate, and it's ideal in one sense. Ideal in the sense that you're beyond bodily conception and bodily attachment, but the question you really raise is we're not at that level. So, you know, what is the philosophy? Then the philosophy is applied. It's applied according to your nature, and therefore the other attachments you dedicate to Krishna. But the thought, you know, you have to have that thought too. Well, hey, you know, Yeah, I love them, but they're really not my children. Okay, but I, you know, on one level they're not, on another level they are, and you know, and you need to have affection for them, and you do have affection for them, so it's very easy. You're supposed to give your children affection, and you have it, you know, and you know, so you don't have to think about it twice. But it's healthy to have some. Otherwise, you know, what happens is you become entangled to the very, very end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the human form of life, you never really, you know, get to perfect it, you know. And you know, I remember one time on one sannyasi. You know, his parents loved him very, very much, you know. And he was in the middle of, like, GDC meeting and something like that, you know. And, you know, his father was dying and calling him, you know. And I like the answer he gave, a very established scholar, Vaishnav scholar, you know, told him, he said, you know, until the stage of Baba, those feelings are there. You can't renounce them even if you want them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be satisfied and fulfilled, you know? But there are other stories of people who, you know, Lord Chaitanya, you know, just took sannyas, left home. And his mother is his wife. So that's there, too. So I think ultimately, duty is prescribed according to our attachments.
I guess, Maharaj, thank you very much. That was very clear. I guess that what I'm interested in is the principle for how we distinguish between certain classes of relationships that we should be suspicious of, let's say. So, like, usually you hear, like, in the sixth chapter of the Gita, I guess verse 9, I think it is, Krishna says that someone is advanced in yogi when they see all different people the same, well-wishers, friends, family, whatever. They see them enemies. Yeah. They see them the same.
Yeah.
And so what I'm wondering is, like, a while ago I heard a lecture where the person was stressing that, you know, you have to give up your family. And I asked a question. I said, it seems to me that when I see spiritually elevated people, they have friends. They have friends, like they have spiritual friends. And so it seems like in that case, we wouldn't think it's good to renounce their friends. Because and why is it? It's because they share their spiritual life together in a way that it's not an obstacle. So I guess the question is, it's not necessarily just because something is a family member, someone's a family member, or someone is in this relationship. It seems to me that's kind of irrelevant. It's just that family tend to normally be the kind of beings that we're most attached to and that get in the way of our spiritual life the most, I guess.
but it just says, naturally, if you're over Krishna, to want to give all our love to him, forgetting material attachments to family, everything else. But because her sons are also exclusive devotees of Krishna, she maintained her affection for them.
So it seems the point is, like, you know, there's a way to see these relationships where they're governed by upadis, and there's a way to see Krishna in the center. And it's, my hunch would be that if you actually see them genuinely, not like in some fake way, but genuinely in relation to Krishna, then you're not just seeing them as family anymore or friends anymore. You've almost already given up, you've already renounced it in the sense that you've renounced the false conception. Is that correct?
Correct, but also, you know, it's a duty of to show affection to your family. I mean, it's part of psychological development. So even from the platform of being a devotee, you know, or even from the platform of Dharma, you know, you have a responsibility there. So the only question that will come up is what happens when one transcends at that level. And then he doesn't have a duty anymore, and he has faith that Krishna will take care of everything, but it's so rare, you know?
Well, Krishna also says that even if you're fit to renounce, generally you don't. I mean, that right there in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm not saying that. I'm frankly not saying this to kind of defend an attachment. But every time I read the first six chapters of the Gita, it shocks me how much Krishna says. Even if you're qualified to renounce the world, you should do karma yoga to set an example. I mean, it's right there. Maybe you disagree. But I think even our sannyasis don't really renounce the world in the way that, you know, sannyasis used to. So anyway. Sorry, it's just, this has been on my mind a lot, so I apologize for kind of spilling out here.
I'm trying to, the point, yeah. Right. You're qualified to do it, but to set an example for others, you can
stay as well. Yeah, and so I guess, I don't know, I'm just thinking aloud through this, and I think, Marge, if I understood the point that you're making is that, you know, there's a variety of factors that influence Dharma. There's kind of short-term developmental issues, like how one and one's relationships, friends or family, can progress just to becoming the kinds of people. And then there's like kind of absolute issues or whatever in relation to one's pure service to God. And so I guess hopefully the two don't conflict, but I guess if they do, that's to consider a kind of more severe. Right?
I'm just going here with what the purport says. He wanted to give all our love to him, forgetting material attachments to family and everyone else. Now, so the question is, it wasn't really a question of renunciation, because it was a question of where our heart went. And because her family was still devotees and connected to Krishna in that way, it facilitated maintaining her affection for them. So, you know, the verses in the Bhagavad Gita is saying, you know, to set the example, it's not talking about how good your feelings are. It's
right.
It's talking about what your duty is. But here, the point is a little bit different. It's talking about, you know, your sentiments and your feelings. You're no longer materially attached, you know, and that's just a fact of spiritual life at that level, you know. I mean, you see all souls as equal, you know. I mean, you don't maintain those distinctions. So that could happen at a very advanced platform. Like, so it's a question of then, where does your affection, like you say, there's friends, and so where does your affection go at that time? Then your affection goes at, you know, in connection to Krishna. You know, and let's say someone, their children are not devotees at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's very different.
Then they become very, very advanced in spiritual life, and then, you know, maybe there won't be, you know, that material attachment or the attachment to family will be there. Now, whether they maintain it or not has a lot to do with their, you know, some of the other factors. I think the point here is about her heart.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. It seems like this is all taking place on the spontaneous platform anyway, like this discussion of what's happening with Kunti.
Well, he's really glorifying them I think the point that was made, everyone associated with Pandya, and the point here is, one of the reasons they're so advanced is because they're associating with the Pandyas, you know? It's things connected with them because of their purity. I guess the real point is to develop that love, I guess.
Yeah.
It's what a kirtan's going out here. I'm watching down there, there's 150 people dancing. And it's Vrindavan, the weather is sublime, and it's great. Okay, anyway, thanks, Mamuni. I really needed that kind of questioning to discuss the thing. Anybody else have any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Yeah.
I was intently listening to Mahamuni's argument and everything. I agree in one way, but my question is, Bharat Maharaj, he left everything, but he was attached to a farm. He thought that he can stay. So,
very nice. That's also a very nice example. Bharat Maharaj, his example, he was in meditation, he developed some affection for a deer, and that distracted him from his meditation. And that's also a very, very very, very important, you know, example of worship of Krishna. It should not be interrupted out of our attachments, etc., and distract. I mean, it's a very practical example, you know. Of course, there's emergencies and things we do, but generally that can happen. You know, when you worship Krishna, you should give your heart and affection to Krishna, and it should be upasana. You should sit on the seat, but the upasana should be worship. The seat should be near. Near how? Not a physical proximity, but near by our consciousness. So I think it's really important that also to, in our worship, you know, to not do our duties if there's emergency with relationships, but not let those other relationships out of affections break our worship to Krishna. What your question was?
Yes, Maharaj.
That answer your question? Or you have?
Yes, Maharaj.
A nice example. Thank you, Bart Maharaj. Yeah. Okay, and anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Gail.
Hi, Bob, Gail.
Just want to say that I appreciated the points you were making today.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, I was saying that I just wanted to express my appreciation for the points that you were making today.
And what point was that?
Well, there are a few. One that comes to mind is that Shastra. Relish it. The Shastra is meant to either enable you to relish it or bring you to the point where you can relish it.
Yeah.
That was one. And also that loving Krishna, having Krishna means loving Krishna. And loving Krishna means being surrendered to him.
Yeah.
So that was another one. And also what you just said sitting near, you know, means it's not a matter of physical proximity. It means, you know, having the instructions in your consciousness, right?
Yeah. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Do you hear the kids on outside? In here, I'll take you outside.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Do you hear the kids on?
Yes, we hear it. We hear it.
I'll give you a couple more minutes of it.
Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Okay, I'm going back into my room. I look down upon that, okay? Not down nice kirtan, huh? And that's what goes on every night here for a couple of hours next door to me. There's 150 people sitting in this big courtyard. Nice. Woo! How do you know? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Amiya, Hare Krishna.
I need your advice as to when to come.
What?
I need your advice as to when to come to India.
Okay. Give me your phone number. I'll call you some other day because people are going to come. But, yeah, I definitely...
I haven't found anyone on this end who's going.
Well, you know, so, I could have you know, I have a sense.
Well, some people are going, but they're not going to Puri, so I need a little bit of advice as to when should I come there, when should I arrive?
Okay. One second.
It doesn't have to be now. It doesn't have to be now.
But I want to. I have your phone number. I'll call you one evening. Okay.
All right. Great.
We'll
thank you so much. Thank you so much,
okay,
Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thanks for class. It's wonderful.
Okay. Okay. How do you go?
Haribol.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Puri from Florida.
Who is this?
Hanan and Puri.
Who is this?
Florida.
Who?
Hanan Maharaj.
I can't hear you. Who is this?
It's Hanan and Puri from Florida.
Yeah, I can't hear it. Your phone is breaking up. Who is this?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan from Florida.
Hanan?
Yes.
Hanan?
Turit.
Oh! Okay, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Okay, Governor, we're going to go out for the kirtan again. Okay, so it's the Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. Can you hear the kirtan?
We hear the kirtan, we hear it in New York City.
Oh. Live from Vrindavan, India! Get a saxophone?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Governor, come on. I gotta go now. I'll see you. Okay, perfect. All right, that's it.